music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and this week on the show, we speak to award-winning Canadian recording artist Virginia DeVegas, who is celebrating his 10th anniversary in the music industry by releasing a greatest hits package. We talk about his tour dates over in China, new music that is on the way, the influence his father has had on his career, and who he would like to collaborate with next. I then talk to you about the phenomenal Maya Rudolph, why you should plan a trip to Universal Studios Hollywood, and some celebrity real estate news that involves millions and millions of dollars.
Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We are always super excited to welcome this guy to the show. He's so talented. Amazing things is what he does right across the States, Canada. Like, he's just all over the place. Virginia DeVegas, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Kelly, it's so good to be speaking with you. I'm great. Thanks for asking.
You know how much I love you profusely. I'm always happy when we get to catch up. And this one's especially special because it's, you know, 10 years really since like you launched the Virginia DeVegas project. And so let's talk a little bit about that milestone. What did it feel like to kind of cross the milestone and know that this project, which I remember when we first spoke, I think you said to me in our initial interview, like, we'll see how this goes. And then like, it's still
right. Going. It's nice to know 24-year-old Derek had the same sense of humor. It's pretty wild. Honestly, it's very wild. Time flies, and I don't mean to be punny here, but it really does go by very quickly, and I didn't realize it had been 10 years. It felt like maybe one, but when I did see that We Are Stars was coming up on the 10-year anniversary, I think it was the second ever Future Star song.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Which is like wild, maybe third. It was like, I wanted to do something that celebrated the project and celebrated the people that supported the project. And, you know, I feel like earlier in my career, I didn't celebrate, you know, the little things enough, and not saying 10 years is a little thing or a compilation album is a little thing, because to me, it's the biggest thing in the world. But I'm really trying to like put timestamps on things and, you know, be proud of the moments and live in the now, because as you know, in entertainment, we're often living 2-3 months in the future, trying to plan, you know, what's next.
Can you kind of like thought process out for me, and the fact that like, how do you think you've actually made it this long? Is it because you're an independent artist? Because there's so many artists that I have encountered, you know, interviewed them when they first splashed across the scene with one single, and then like, you know, 18 months later, they're nowhere to be found again.
Jeez, it'll be a long-winded answer, but I'll try to make it endless. There's a couple things that I think of. Number one, I have great people around me in terms of team, and the team has evolved and changed and plussed and minused over the years, but I want to pat myself on the back for surrounding myself with people that had a attitude of, yeah, we can figure that out, because I really like, you know, I really like the idea of, you know, trying to, you know, solve the impossible. And, you know, being a kid small, you know, from a small town in Ontario, not on a major record label, to have a 10-year career is, you know, pretty unheard of. I got so many no's. So many people said that it's not going to work. There's not the right lane. So many music producers at the beginning weren't interested in my music. Music video directors thought I didn't look appealing enough or something. And, you know, I had songs that didn't work as well, you know, lots of them. But I think mental fortitude for young artists that are aspiring, if you have a goal and it's something that's truly in your heart, to keep pushing forward and, you know, believe in yourself. I think, you know, even if it seems unrealistic, it's like, what's the alternative? You know what I mean? The alternative is awful. So just like, you know, work really hard on yourself, and, you know, following a pipe dream doesn't mean it's not hard work. It's just like, you know, I had jobs. I remember I played in the Air Canada Center, and the next day I was working in a call center. So, you know, I just didn't want to quit.
Yeah, well, I think people don't realize, like, yeah, like when you get all these no's, you have to keep trying if it's really what, like, if you know that there's nothing else for you, you know, like this is it. So you got to do whatever it takes to keep going. So I think that's great advice for up and coming artists. And, you know, I was reading over some of your stats, and you've got 4 platinum singles, 7 top 10 radio singles. How does that achievement make you feel? And why do you think your songs resonate so much with, you know, I'm going to say Canada, but now we know you're branching out into the world, and more countries and more people are falling in love with you, but you've been on the radio here for 10 years. Like, how do you think you've managed that?
Well, from great friendships with people like you who have said, you know, we like your music and, you know, and great, people in Canada that supported my music, that came to shows and took a chance on me when I was, you know, not very good and allowed me to kind of like grow into the artist I am now, which like I'm very proud of. Like, you know, I work really hard every day at becoming a better guitar player and a better songwriter and a better writer and having a better understanding of the business. And, you know, I think it's kind of like the last answer in the sense that it's just keep pushing forward. You know, my grandfather, I remember him telling me, you know, because he was like 76 and still learning Spanish and could maybe say like 4 words, and was like, you know, always keep your brain learning, always keep expanding, always, you know, try to keep growing. And I think I've just, you know, tried to do that, and I've had a lot of luck, and, you know, I don't know, I'm really grateful that I get to do, you know, this and make music. It's awesome because it's the thing that I love the most in the world.
When you were planning to, you know, celebrate the 10 years of We Are Stars, did you know you were going to put out a greatest hits compilation? And did you know that you needed to have a song with that, which is Time, which we'll talk about in a bit? But like, how did that all come together?
Yeah, I mean, I knew very early on that I wanted to make a compilation record. And one of the label owners at Wax had suggested doing a vinyl, and I thought that was a great idea. And him and I just like really worked on it. And, you know, I did all the photography in this house, in this living room. I shot the music video in the living room. You know, I recorded Time in my studio in the basement. And yeah, I just really worked hard to create a package that was of value for my fans. That was like, you know, because a lot of the people that are still listening today have been around for the beginning. Like, there's not a lot of Virginia to Vegas fans, but the ones that are there are really great fans and strong and loyal and have been around. And like, you know, I want to give them value because they've given my life so much meaning.
Joining us on the show is Derek Baker, a.k.a. Virginia to Vegas. Don't forget to grab all of his social media handles off his website, virginiatovegas.com. So we have to talk about Time. And you've said in some of the press that I read, and even before I read the press and was just listening to the song, I'm like, this is really something for Derek. Like, I just knew that from the lyrics. So can you talk to us why you chose to write the song and why you took that extra step to really make it personal?
So I wrote Time during the pandemic. It wasn't written for this album, and I wasn't even sure I was ever going to put it out because to me it didn't sound like a Virginia to Vegas song. But I wrote it kind of about, you know, that feeling of you know, the perspective of time and how quickly it moves. And when you look back at it, it's like, where did that go? And the last movie I saw with my dad before he passed away was a movie called Interstellar. And one of the main subjects, one of the main themes, one of the main themes is is time and the, you know, theory of relativity. And I wanted to write something that kind of encapsulated that idea, because my dad was such a big influence on who I am as an artist, from, you know, why I like lyrics and why I like music and why this writer is cool or why this producer got along with this, you know, songwriter. And he was such an audiophile. We would sit and listen to music for hours, and he would explain, you know, he would explain his catalog of music and why he loved it. And it made me such a fan. And, I get emotional. I think at the end of the 10-year phase, I wish he would have got to see how the career evolved, because he passed away, you know, kind of shortly after We Are Stars, when I was in a 2-year lull where I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get a show, I couldn't get a song running, I couldn't do anything. And in that time he got sick and passed away. And after that time, I just dove so deep into music, and yeah, I just wanted to, you know, put a little stamp of, hey Dad, love you, man, on the greatest hits. And that's really what time is for me.
And now that you like have it out and it's running on the radio, like, what do you think Dad would say?
He would say, fantastico. Great lyric, great melody.
That's amazing. Do you find that your dad, like, because, you know, I'm very fortunate my dad is still with me. But I just know it's funny, like, even as I like roll out through my days, like, you know, he's not a radio person. I mean, he listens to the radio. He doesn't usually necessarily listen to me when I'm on the radio. But it's funny, when I make certain decisions, he's kind of always on the shoulder. And so yeah. Do you find that even though your dad has been passed away for several years, like, he plays a part in your decision making as an artist?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, I got pretty spiritual, like, 2019 when I wrote Better Man, and I started going back to church, and I enjoyed that process for me, and I'm not putting that on anyone else, but for me it was great. And I do believe that, like, I do believe in an afterlife. I do believe that, you know, my dad's watching out for me. And I think it's kind of, I feel like I still have chats with him sometimes. Even if he's not there, something cool happens and I'm driving in the car by myself, I'll say, hey Dad, like, you know. So I think so. I don't know. I feel like when I create music, though, I feel like it's not guided or directed by anyone, even myself. I feel like, you know, I have a neon sign in my studio that says, let the universe in. And I feel like if you think too much about what you're doing, you're probably not going to create something good. And you have to just, you know, be like almost like an antenna for ideas, and put them out and write them down and then let them marinate and see if they make sense later on. And that's kind of how I've always approached songwriting.
It's so funny that you said that, because I recently saw something where they had audio clips from Michael Jackson talking. This was like back in the day in the 80s, where he was talking about how basically he was a conduit, like, just for songs, and that they, because he even said something, and I'm paraphrasing now because I don't remember exactly how he said it, but it was basically like, he's like, sometimes I feel guilty taking credit for the song because I don't think it's me. Like, it's just...
The good ones, like, the good songs pour out of you, and they come very fast. We Are Stars, we wrote in 10 minutes. Time, I don't even remember writing it, how fast we wrote it. And that's not to say, like, editing and going back over songs isn't important and spending time to make your craft good, but there is something magical sometimes about writing a song, and often those magical moments when you write a song are the ones that turn out to be good. So, you know, call that whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's like your subconscious or whatever. I'm not sure.
I have to ask you about the fact that, you know, we've known you here in Canada for 10 years, if not a little bit longer than that. But now you are, and I'm sure it's been a while anyways, that you're expanding, like more people across the planet are starting to know who you are. You're heading out on a tour in China, which is amazing. So tell us how the tour came about and what it's been like to know that fans in other countries are finding you.
The Chinese tour is like pretty like magical when I think about it, because in like 2018, 2019, 2020, I started getting a lot of social media messages from people in China saying like, hey, we love your music. You have fans in China, come, you know, come play a show. And, you know, I never really thought about it as a reality. But you know, as time went on, the streaming started to become pretty real, and we started getting like offers, show offers, come over, play a show, come over, play a show. And so, you know, we finally made the decision that we're going to do it. And we're doing a Canadian, or we're doing an entire country of China tour. We're doing 5 shows across the country in like 8 days. And, you know, we're playing like 1,000 cap rooms, and we're just going to like go and, you know, figure out what it's like, but we don't really know. But the process has been like, you know, very interesting, because, you know, we have, there's so much involved that like the team has to manage in order for us to go over, and language barrier. And, you know, if we're trying to get input lists created, it's like, we'll send an email at like, you know, 8 a.m., but they won't get it till midnight or whatever, you know what I mean? The time difference. So I feel like I'm kind of running on 2 clocks for the last couple of months, just trying to like make sure I get, you know, everything from a tech perspective organized so we can go over there and deliver, you know, an amazing show and, you know, meet fans that live, you know, across the world. It's just mind blowing.
When you come back, how will you think that, I'm sure you can't fully answer this question, but how do you think your experience in China will affect what you're going to do here in Canada? Because you are going to tour here, right? I hope.
Yeah, we're going on tour in September. I don't think we're allowed to announce that yet, but Montreal, I'll be there in September. It already has affected the show like greatly. Like, I've taken such a deep dive on the live show because I've had to figure out how to travel on a small footprint. So I've made some like really cool like tech improvements, which sounds like boring and nerdy and whatever, but like for me, I think like the show in September will be, you know, leagues above what any of my fans in Montreal have seen, just because of the amount of work that we've put into trying to consolidate a show for like an international tour.
And when you do tour Canada, like I'm assuming you're hitting all the major markets, you're coming to Montreal, what does Montreal mean to you? Because
everything.
Okay, good. Okay.
Montreal, everyone always says Montreal is a tough market, but I never got that from Montreal. Montreal has always been good to me. Like from day one, for whatever reason, Montreal has treated me with so much kindness. The fans are amazing. They're loud. They know the songs. They care about music. And I just love Montreal. I love the culture. I mean, I know it's touristy, but I love Old Port. I love Boda Boda.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, I love Montreal. My godparents, my aunt and uncle live in Montreal. My mom was born in Montreal. So it's a very special city to me. I love Quebec and I love Montreal.
What are you trying to manifest for yourself? I'll say in the next year, because I know you've probably got the next 6 months planned, but what is up next for Derek Baker after that?
There's a lot of new music on the way. I'm working on like a 6-song EP right now that's got a bit of a different flavor, but I think is going to be really exciting. I reached out to, there's a drummer I've been a fan of for a bajillion years, a guy named Aaron Sterling. He plays with he's played with Taylor Swift, John Mayer. He's John Mayer's main drummer. He's just played on the new Post Malone album. I reached out to him on Instagram, of all things, and we've already recorded the songs. He's played on the entire new album, and it sounds so good. So there's new music. There's a tour coming. And hopefully when I get back from China, this China tour has taken up so much of my mental bandwidth. Hopefully I'll have like just a quick minute to like feel like a human again and then get back on the road.
Before I let you go, just a couple of questions for you. I call them fast facts with Virginia to Vegas. So we'll start off by saying, like, who in Canada, like as a Canadian pop artist, would you actually like to collaborate with? I know you've collaborated with some in the past, but like, is anybody on your bucket list still?
I just worked with Elijah Woods, and him and I wrote a song together. And he's such a great guy, and he's doing so well. So, I mean, I'd love to do a track with him. A good friend of mine, Alex Porat, and I might be working on a song. And I think she's such a fantastic Canadian artist. She's so good. The Beaches are like so awesome, and I'd love to produce a pop song for The Beaches. Still encapsulating all of their bad, but if this is on the radio, nature. Like they're so, I just think they're so sick. Valley is like one of my favorite Canadian bands. Love Valley. The Arkells. There's an artist named Child who's from Montreal, actually.
That's right.
And he, I think, is probably the coolest artist in the music industry right now. So there's so much great Canadian talent, and I'm very grateful to call a bunch of them my buds.
Is there a concert right now that you would like to go to, like a touring artist that you would actually love to go and see or haven't seen yet or want to see again?
I'd love to see Phoenix again. They like kind of blew my mind the first time I saw them. The Teskey Brothers, I've been listening to them a bunch, and I'd love to see Olivia Dean. Have you heard her song Dive?
I have not. I've heard the name, but I have not listened to. So now I have something to research.
Go listen to Dive by Olivia Dean. So beautiful. It's just such a lovely song, and it kind of reminds me of like early 2000s Norah Jones, like very tasteful recording, beautiful voice. She's like amazing. So I'd love to go see an Olivia Dean show.
What is always in your fridge?
Bubbly. Michael Bubbly.
I hope he hears this. I'm sure he will. What childhood TV show or like, you know, show from your teen years would you love to see as a reboot?
The Wonder Years.
Oh, that's good. That's solid.
Or Boy Meets World.
And if you, I don't know if you cook, Derek, but if you do, what's your go-to dish? Somebody always has, like, everyone always has something they can manage. Are you a cook?
I do like to cook. I don't know if I am a cook, but I make a pretty darn good parpadelli deliosa, a mushroom sausage. What is it called? Pure de moi, it's like celery, carrot,
the mashup, all that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's amazing.
So good. Fresh oregano on the top, fresh arugula on the top, olive oil, crunch some salt. Oh.
You're ready to go.
Let's go.
What message do you have for your Montreal fans?
I love you guys. And I'll see you in September, and let's sell the September show out. So, you know, call all your friends. Let's have a really good party and let's sell that September show out. And I can't wait to see you guys.
Amazing. Derek, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
That is Virginia to Vegas, Derek Baker. Don't forget to grab all of his social media handles by hitting up his website, virginiatovegas.com.
Listen anytime, any place, just a click away. KellyAlexanderShow.com.
We have a lot to talk about this week, including giving a massive shout out to Maya Rudolph, who did an amazing job guest hosting Saturday Night Live. She always hits it out of the ballpark, and it's always amazing when Lorne Michaels decides to bring her back. Now, I don't want to give away any spoilers in case you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but just remember that she has a skit out there. It's actually on their Twitter account, their X account, Saturday Night Live, where she portrays Beyonce in those hot wings skits, and she's like cowboy cartered all the way up to the max. It's amazing. And also the opening monologue where she basically channels Beyonce and Madonna and does this house track where she's singing about being mother. It's really amazing. She's so fantastic. So please do yourself a favor, go to their Twitter account and check it out, and hopefully you actually did PVR the episode. Now, some kind of sad news next, a little bit anyways, when it comes to award shows, is that MTV has decided to cancel this year's MTV Movie and TV Awards, when it usually is kind of like this summer staple where we get to see the Hollywood stars out and about having some fun. And this award show has been a long-running tradition since it first started all the way back in 1992. Now, the good news is that MTV is not getting rid of the awards forever, just for this year. They actually plan to bring it back freshened up, revamped for 2025. And at the moment, no real reason has been given as to why they decided to axe the awards this year. But some theories that are floating around is that because of the Hollywood writers and actors strike that went on last year, there just wasn't a lot of content to pull from. So that's that. Now, here's something pretty cool. If you are thinking of heading to Universal Studios Hollywood at any point soon, you may actually want to delay your trip for a little bit. It's been announced that the Fast and Furious roller coaster is going to open at Universal Studios Hollywood in 2026. And they've also released the name of what that coaster is going to be called: Fast and Furious Hollywood Drift. And this ride is going to be the theme park's first ever high-speed outdoor roller coaster. And there is a ton of excitement about this attraction coming to Universal Studios Hollywood. The general manager put out a statement, a press release, that this ride is going to be a game changer for their park. And it's also no coincidence that the roller coaster is opening in 2026. That is actually the 25th anniversary of the very first Fast and Furious film. Can you believe it's been 25 years since Fast and Furious kicked off? I have no idea where the time goes. It's crazy. Now, some celebrity real estate news for you. DJ and producer Zedd has just offloaded one of his Los Angeles homes. It's a place that Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner used to call home. It has six bedrooms. It's in Encino. It features a of course, many bells and whistles, like a gym, a sauna, a massage room, a home theater, a pub, a wine cellar, a music studio, and of course, an absolutely gorgeous and stunning backyard. And Zedd has managed to sell the property for over $17 million. And some other real estate news, by the way, is that Drake is also in the process of trying to offload his Los Angeles area mansion. This thing, though, is worth a gajillion dollars. $88 million is the price that he's asking. I believe it has something like 22 bathrooms. Like, there's a lot going on. I'm not sure who is going to clean all those bathrooms when someone buys it, but there's a lot going on there, that's for sure. And I'm not sure if it's because of the recent beef that's going on with him and Kendrick Lamar, where maybe Los Angeles isn't big enough for the both of them. So we'll see if anyone is a taker on that $88 million mansion. Wanted to give a shout out to Drew Barrymore. She, of course, has been very focused on her daytime talk show over the last few years. And she has said in a new interview that her daughters, 11-year-old Olive and 10-year-old Frankie, have basically given her the green light to go back to Hollywood and get back to her acting, producing, and directing career. And Drew says that, you know, getting that permission from them was a really important step for her and has opened up her mind to what possibilities possibilities could lie ahead. And Drew's production company called Flower Films has done some great work over the years with movies like Charlie's Angels and Donnie Darko. So it would be wonderful to see Drew back in Hollywood doing her thing. And she has mentioned that she would love to make a Wizard of Oz prequel. So fingers crossed. And finally, I wanted to just put this in your hat. If you haven't seen the news yet, we had an incredible interview that we did with Guero Charles, who is a very talented dancer and choreographer, and he has worked with many A-list artists like Jennifer Lopez and Tate McRae, Backstreet Boys, and of course his long-standing relationship with Janet Jackson. And we have been trying to get Guero on the show for a long time now, and finally the stars aligned and we were able to have a session with him, an interview with him. And it was just such an amazing experience. He was so open and passionate and thoughtful. And it was really great to hear his stories of his career, like where he got his start and, you know, all the training he's done and where he's headed next. And of course, obviously hearing about what it's like to be part of the Janet family, what it was like when he first met her, what a day in rehearsals is like with her, how she handles the amount of love and adoration that she gets from her fans, you know, all the time. He has really great insight. And again, it just solidifies what we already know, that Janet is a lovely human being and loves to take care of the people around her. So cannot wait for you to hear that interview. That is on our YouTube channel very soon. So keep an eye out for that. And then, of course, we're going to run the audio part of that interview on this very show as well. So just keep following our social media and you'll see when everything has been released. So that does it for our update this week. Again, don't forget, you can always find me, find the show at Kelly Alexander Show, of course, on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show, of course. And you can also reach out to me on my socials at Kelly Alexander with two X's and at Kelly Alexander on Twitter/X.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
There you go, another episode of the Kelly Alexander Show. And as always, thank you so much for spending time with us. We very much appreciate it. A big shout out to our guest this week, Virginia DeVegas, and of course to our super producer, Andrew Sabino, for doing a wonderful job putting the show together. Please don't forget to tell your family and friends all about the Kelly Alexander Show. We'd love for them to subscribe. They can listen to us on all the major podcast platforms, and of course, follow us on all of our social media. Hit up our website, kellyalexandershow.com. Have an amazing week. You and I will chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show.